Father, speak through me, bless through me, transform through me, affect lives through me, in Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to thank Dr. Mills, the uncle of the church, for his amazing teachings whilst I was away just watching anytime he's teaching. I grew up under him, actually. He's my senior brother in ministry, and I truly, truly love him. So the resurrection effect, introduction, so that next Sunday I teach it in full, the resurrection effect. Now the subtitle for the first part is From a Wretched Man to a Wonderful Man. From a wretched man to a wonderful man. Oh, Christianity is a journey from wretchedness to wonder. God wants you to be a wonder. God wants you to be a wonder. And I want to show you how the death and the resurrection of Christ can take you from wretchedness into wonderness. Wonderfulness. Wonderfulness. My son, Pastor Theophilus, teaches me English. Anytime I finish preaching, he marks me. Sometimes I get as low as 49. That is a fail. No, that is a fail. Because he would tell me where I should have punctuated that I did not, and where I should have used have and used has, and all those things. Oh, what a son. Now, is the reason why God made him bigger than me? You see his size? When he's walking in our facility, sometimes when I'm working with him, I stop. I say, Sally, you are working like you own the place. I'm the owner. You are the assistant owner, but you are working like you own the place. Tone down on your work. The guy can walk like this, and then I'm walking like this. Hey. But he's an anointed young man. Yeah, he's an anointed young man. I'm blessed to have him. So from a wretched man to a wonderful man. Can I get the next scripture? Okay, so introductory scripture, Romans 7, 24 and 25. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Oh, and then thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you something. Wow, what a deliverance from a wretched. Do you know that if Christ has not delivered me from where I grew up, like by now I will be a wretched drug addict, or a wretched armed robber, or a wretched drunkard, or a wretched lotto forecaster, or a wretched lotto staker, or a wretched womanizer, or a wretched manizer. Do you have manizers here? Yeah. I'm telling you, or I would have died a very wretched death and buried a very wretched way with wawa boards. Or my body would have been left for the government to take. And when government takes your body, we don't know what they will say. They are doing mass grave, but they probably, maybe, okay, let me not say government. When your body, when you are buried, when you die and nobody sees your body, but now your heart is harvested in somebody's chest and all those things. No, without Christ, it would have been a very wretched life. I want to show you, and here I'm talking about the wretchedness of the soul. How your soul will become wretched without Christ. And how some of us sitting here right now, we are suffering from the wretchedness of the soul. And how God wants to make you a wonderful man. There is hope for you today. There is deliverance for you today. There is an opportunity for you today for God to take you from wretchedness into wonderfulness. You can become. Now, look, you see, the Greek word translated wretched in this scripture, telaiporos, it means misery, it means distress, it means unhappiness, it means afflicted, it means hardship, it means pitiable. Oh, what a word. What a word. See, let me tell you this. Let me tell you something. You can pretend to be happy. Happiness is the easiest thing that you can pretend to be. But the joy that Christ brings, when you don't have it, when you don't have it. One day, I was feeling a bit down, and I came to stand on everything I have, all mine, everything I have in the properties and everything. And then God took my mind back to when I lived in a single room in Techi somewhere. And the Lord asked me, do you compare the joy you had in that single room in abject poverty in Techi and the one that you have now? I said, yeah, Techi one has a sense of peace, security, tranquility, some fulfillment. Here, it looks like my fulfillment is not complete. Do you know what he said to me? He said, go back to the prayer life of Techi. Go back to the Bible study life of Techi. Go back to that connectiveness. He said, these things happening for you can make you happy. But real joy comes when it comes from my presence. A disconnection from me would take away that joy. And I'm not used to happiness. I am used to joy. For those of you who are used to happiness, you don't understand. Because you can't compare. But I want to show you something. I want to read a scripture and I'll be off from here. I want to show you the picture of a wretched soul. Are you ready? The picture of a wretched soul. How a wretched soul is. And then when I show you that picture, you picture yourself to see whether you are a wretched soul or not. And then I will give you the antidote for a wretched soul. How you can become a wonderful person from wretchedness. God wants you to be a sign and a wonder. He wants you to be a wonderful person. He doesn't want you to have the wretchedness of soul, of the soul. Can I show you? Okay. Now look at the scripture. I think I'm reading from the New Living Translation, not the NIV. So now, Romans 7, 15 to 25. I don't really understand myself. Have you been there before? Don't read ahead of me. Have you been there before? Where you don't really understand yourself. I don't really understand myself. The choices, so that you do some things, you act in a way, and then when you're alone, you feel, what have I become? What kind of person have I become? I used to be like this. So you get to that point where you don't really understand yourself anymore. I don't really understand myself. For what I want to do, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Oh, if there's somebody here who is doing what you hate, you hate the alcohol, but you still drink it. Nobody loves sinning here. I'm telling you, nobody loves sinning. You hate fornication, but you still do it. You hate gossip, but you still do it. You hate quarreling, but you still do it. You hate the bitterness in your heart, but it's still there. Oh, there are so many things you hate. You hate beating your wife, but you still beat. You hate insulting your husband, but you still do it. There are things that you hate. You are a good person. Oh, the bad things you do, you hate them. I'm telling you. Nobody loves what you are doing. You hate 419, but you are still doing it. You hate dating two girls, but you are still doing it. Oh, some of you are even dating three. So I'm telling you, some of you, do you know what dating three girls is? Your wife is two. Your girlfriend is one. Yeah. If you compare your wife, like me, like the way mommy is to me, any girlfriend, if anybody becomes my girlfriend, mommy is like 1,000. You are like one. Don't fall in love with a married man. If that married man is even insulting their wife to you, it's a ploy. I mean, he wants to use you. The man has married the wife for over 10 years and he's telling you the woman is a bad woman. Why will you stay with a bad person for over 10 years? What is binding you? What is holding you? What is binding you? What is holding you? The man is the baddest. And then look at you. You have become a marriage counselor at your age. A marriage counselor at your age. Don't mind her. You don't. You haven't eaten, eh? You haven't eaten. Come, let me cook for you, eh? You will chop your money, chop your food, and chop your body. Oh, what a miserable person. Oh, what a wretched soul. Oh, what a wretched soul. What a wretched soul. Look at the way you are hiding your phone from your wife. There are things on it. Did you see the funny video of a man in the bathroom and saw that the wife has taken his phone and he came out of the bathroom and came outside to chase them, this thing. Did you see the video of the man who was sick in the hospital and was on drip, and the wife packed his things and realized the wife has taken his phone. He removed the drip, jumped out of the bed, started chasing. What a wretched soul. What is on that phone? What a wretched soul. Look, say, excuse me, let me take. You see, you are going to take your bath. Your phone is with you. When soap goes into your eyes, then you take the soap. They are having you. Oh, what a wretched soul. Oh, what a wretched soul. What is on that phone that you can't live in? What a wretched soul. Look at how midnight, eh? But you don't like it, though. Look at how midnight, instead of coming home, you close from work. You are going to chase a girl somewhere, and your wife is waiting for you. The wife is calling you, and then you put the phone off, and then you try to find an excuse. You have become a liar. Your life is in a mess. You are taking care of two families, and your life is in a mess, and your company is going down. Your finances have become bizarre, and you are lying here and lying there, and you don't like it. You hate what you are doing, but you don't have control. Oh, what a wretched soul. What a wretched soul. Look at how pornography has messed your life up. Oh, what a wretched soul. What a wretched soul. Oh, I see some young men midnight on this thing, watching pornography. I read something whilst I was away. When your internet went down, I had full internet. I didn't mind. When your internet went down, and they said that pornography watchers are very, very annoyed. That if the government does not resolve this, they will vote against the government. The Pornography Watchers Association. Oh, what a wretched soul. What a wretched soul you are. Oh, masturbators, what a wretched soul. Oh, what a wretched soul. Look. But you hate it. It's not like you love it. You hate it. You hate it. How will you love sleeping with yourself? It's not something you love. You hate it. Why will you love smoking something that can destroy your lungs? You hate it. It's not something you love. But look. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. I mean, the Bible is good. But the Bible tells me what is wrong. So I am not the one doing it. I'm not the one doing wrong. So who is doing it? It is sin living in me that does it. The whole concept of Easter is Christ dealing with a sin that is making you do the things you do. Brother, you see, when you are doing something that you hate, that you know is not right, but you are still doing it, there is a sin that is living in you. Oh. There is a sin that is living in you that is making you do it. It is that sin you must overcome. It is that sin you must. Sin makes you wretched. It makes your soul wretched. Can I go on? Look at this. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is right, but I can't. And God is sympathizing with you today. God is telling you that He knows you want to do what is right, but you can't because your sinful nature is preventing you from doing what is right, but you cannot do it. It's a battle you cannot win yourself. Listen, the most difficult battle is not a battle between the witches in your house and you. It's the battle between your sinful nature and what you want to do. That is the battle. It's through your sinful nature and what you want to do. Don't be a prisoner of sin. Because there's a God out there who loves you. And he's not judging you. God is not judging you. God is saying, I understand there is a sinful nature. You didn't make it yourself. Adam did it. And you have become a slave to that sinful nature. And you have become wretched as a result of that sinful nature. And God is saying that I have sent my servant to your faith to tell you today how to get out of wretchedness into wonderfulness. He loves you. He wants to help you. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to get you out of that wretchedness. He wants to get you out of that wretchedness. You know it when you were alone. That's how you feel very dirty when you do the things you do. Look. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Tell me, these young ladies here who are chasing people's husbands, do you want to really want to do it? You don't, but you do it anyway. Why do you do it anyway? Why do you do it anyway? Sinful nature. The sinful nature is controlling you. And God knows, God is not judging you. God knows that you are a slave to the sinful nature. And he says, to your faith, go today. They will give you only 20 minutes. But tell them within that 20 minutes that the reason why they gave you 20 minutes is because of the wretchedness of the soul. What a bishop. Oh, may the Lord deliver us. I said, may the Lord deliver us. Let's go to the next slide. Let me close the service. My 20 minutes is long gone. The rest is the bishop's time. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. You are not the one doing the wrong thing. You are not the one. It's a sin that lives in you. But do you know if you rape and you go to the court, you cannot tell the judge that it's a sin that is living in me? Do you understand? Do you know when you are raising children, when you are breastfeeding them, they have a way in which they bite your nipple. They bite your nipple. Then when you say, again, then they are laughing. It's the sin that lives in them, even at breastfeeding. Oh, do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a sin that lives in all of us. Now, he goes on to say, I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. So then the writer says that become a principle, that become a rule. The rule is that when I'm even attempting to do what is right, I end up doing what is wrong. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. It says, I love God's law with all my heart. The fact that you are in church today tells me that you love God. You love Jesus. You love him with all your heart. But there's a sin living in you that is making you a slave. He wants to save you today. He wants to deliver you today. I know that you are struggling, that you want to be a good Christian. You want to just be a good Christian. Lord, I just want to be I want to be like everybody. I want to go. I want to serve in the church. I want to join the choir. I want to be at the prayer warriors meeting. I want to go to church on weekdays. I want to wake up and do morning devotion. People talk about doing morning devotion and studying the Bible. And people talk about, look at the way Bishop talks about getting born again at 14 and not knowing any woman apart from mommy. Look at all the, I want to be like that. I want to show you how to be like that. I want to show you how to be like that. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. There's a power of sin. Oh, what a miserable person. So in the NIV, so what a wretched man. in the New Living Translation, oh, what a miserable person I am. Now look at the person's appeal. Look at the person's appeal. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who will free me? Who will free me? I need freedom. I need freedom from prostitution. I need freedom from fornication. I need freedom from gossip. I need freedom from quarreling. I need freedom from every form of sin. I need freedom. And I know that there are many of us sitting here. We need that freedom. We need that freedom. Then the writer goes on to say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. The writer is not thanking God because he bought a new car. He's not thanking God because he built a new house. He's not thanking God because he bought a new watch. He's not thanking God because he got a job. He's thanking God because of something. And what is that thing? What is that thing? Say, thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, the answer is in Jesus. The answer to sin is not following prophets. It's in Jesus. Listen, I said it here over and over. You can be in church without being in Christ. Today he's offering an opportunity. If you are struggling with anything in your life and you see you are not meeting God's target and you are feeling guilty and you want to give up, you even want to stop church, because this church, when I go all the time, I feel guilty and I feel bad. Do you know why you are here today? Despite the fact that you feel guilty, you feel bad, you have still come to church. You are sitting down here. You are listening to me talking. You have been worshiping. It's because you love him. All you need now is the help. Help. All you need now is to tell him, Lord, help me. Lord, I've come to you just the way I am. Help me. Help me. Let me show you how Jesus is the answer. I want to show you how Jesus is the answer. I want to show you. Can I show you? Can I show you? Can I show you? Here is the thing. Look at this. Next slide, please. Next slide. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised him up from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. So you see, he was talking about the sinful nature, which is your body. Now he's saying that there's a spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead. If that spirit lives in you, it will also raise you from the dead of your sin. The death of your sin, I'm telling you. The spirit of him that raised Christ. The spirit of him that raised Christ. I've mentioned it here. How to live for God. Can I borrow somebody's phone? Can I borrow somebody's phone? Take it to where you have the apps. So just, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir. You see, this is Elder. It has food. I said this here. He can use it for many, many things. Many, many things. Once I was away, he sent me WhatsApp to check on where I have been. He has been my son for years. When he was a boy, the boy became a man, became honorable. When he doesn't see me, it's like withdrawal syndromes. So when he came to, he didn't see me, he sent me a message. Daddy, where are you? I said, I'm away with my wife. No. Why could he do that? He has WhatsApp app. Send me message. Years ago, when we had yam phones, you could not. See, I could run my office from there. I could do video calls and run my office. I could even do Zoom meetings with my phone. You know why? Because there are apps on this phone that enables this phone to become wonderful. Our phones are wonderful. They are very powerful things. You can do business, write letters, do a lot of things on your phones. Because of the apps already. Anybody with a yam phone, if you are shy, just pass it on. Yeah, brother. Bible students, you are. The other brother hits you that you have a yam phone. See, this is a yam phone. Can you do video calls on this? No, this is yam. You can't do video calls on this. What's the difference between these two? Now, this person is in church, but not in Christ. Yam phones. See? The yam phone is a Christian in church, but not in Christ. Because there is nothing in this yam phone that can enable this phone to become a wonderful phone. Do you understand? There is no LinkedIn app There is no video app. There is no, name the apps. WhatsApp. There is no what? Snow. Zoom. There is no Zoom app. There's no what? There's no TikTok. So this is a phone. It's still a phone. It's still a phone, but this phone cannot do wonderful things. Do you understand? So there are young Christians. There's no chat GPT. There's no chat GPT. No backup. Bank app. You can't transact banking for this thing on this one. Oh, so you see, this is yam. Because there is no app on it. But this phone can do wonderful things. Even right now, Kra, it's doing video. I don't know what I touched. This phone can do wonderful things. This phone can do wonderful. Do you know why? There are apps. Now, if we're Christians, see, this one too is a Christian. They are both Christian. They all come to church. But this one does not have the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead. But this one is just, is in church, but not in Christ. But this one, is not only in church, but also in Christ. So he had the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead. And that spirit is like an app. When the Holy Spirit is in you, it enables you to do everything God wants you to do. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit enables you to do everything. God wants you. How can me and Moni be married for 32 years and be faithful to each other? Holy Spirit. How can I be a preacher since I was 20 years? I was 22 years as a pastor. So I've been preaching for 34 years. And I still preach and I still have sermons to preach every Sunday. And I've prayed every day. I've studied the Bible. I've been born again like 41 years. Been born again like 41 years. Your father was not even born. And consistently, I've been here. Yamsela is in Bible school. Bible students there. Almost, I don't know. Charlie. Why? Be a better friend. And your hardship as a good soldier. You understand? So there are young Christians here, and there are smart Christians here. You need to have the spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead. God will never let you do something that he will not enable you to do it. And that enablement is the Holy Spirit. That enablement is the Holy Spirit. Right now in this service, you are saying to yourself, man of God, the Holy Spirit that comes through Christ Jesus, I want him. I want this thing you are talking about. I want to be a wonderful person. I want to be a wonderful person that can walk in holiness, walk in purity, and show everybody that the spirit that raised Christ from the dead, I want that spirit to live in me. And I want that spirit to raise me from the dead of sin. And I want to live in holiness and in purity for Christ. Bow down your heads. Let me pray for you. Raise your hands if you want me to pray for you. God bless you. Wherever you are, just raise your hands. Don't be ashamed of anybody. Raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Raise your hands wherever you are. I want to pray for you. I want this Jesus who can change your life to come into your life and redeem you from the wretchedness of the soul and make you a wonderful person. I want to pray for you. It is this Jesus. Yes, it is. If your hands are up, stand on your feet. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have.